Good morning. Happy Easter. I'm going to try one thing. He is risen. I heard it once. In the early church, Christianity was not very popular. And the Christians were persecuted. So when they would go about, they would greet one another on the streets, and they would ask the question, "He is risen?" And in order to know the other person was a Christian, that person would answer back, "He is risen indeed." He is risen indeed. So he is risen this morning?
He is risen indeed.
Okay, good. And we have friends throughout the country today who are piling into churches. And there are so many different Easter services, and the world knows that there's something special about today. And that special message is the hope that Jesus Christ brings to our lives. The hope of salvation and the hope of eternal life with him. And this whole past month, and I think all of us do this, we start to read the story of Jesus' crucifixion and the story of his resurrection. And there was one thing in my mind that kept sticking out to me, and that was the timing of Christ's crucifixion and everything that transpired towards that last week of his life, of when it actually happened. And every single year, Jews, they celebrated the Passover. And as Jesus was coming into the city, he sent Peter and John to prepare the Passover feast. And, you know, when you get one little tidbit of that scripture that says, oh, they're going to the city to prepare it. And in our minds, I think we said, you know, he's going to go find a room. It's like he's going to go pick out the restaurant to have dinner at. And it wasn't that case. The Passover feast was huge. So this was a big deal for these two men that they were about to go do. And they would have to go down. There was a certain types of food that they were supposed to eat that night. And the fancy term is the Seder meal. And it represented everything that Israel went through while they were in bondage in Egypt. And there's these bitter herbs that they would eat to remind them of the bitterness of slavery. They would eat this paste that reminded them of the mortar that used to stick the blocks together when they were under slavery in Egypt, of the building the temples that the Egyptians had them. And interestingly enough, I learned something this year, that on the table in front of everyone, there were four cups. And they represented something very important to them. And we'll come back to the specific meaning it had to Israel. But the question I also started to wonder is, well, if Jesus was the message from the very beginning of time, why did we need it? What was the point of these feasts? What was the point of the law if Jesus Christ was the message from the very beginning? You read the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Jesus was there. Why all these other steps? And Paul writes to the Galatians, he said, the law was added. So it had to be added to something, which was the message of Jesus Christ from the beginning of time. That he was going to come, he was going to suffer and die for each and every one of you. But because the world and our flesh, they fell away and they didn't want to hear the message of Jesus. And he goes on to write, because of their sin, we added these things. And it says, but the scripture hath included all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law. So before Israel, before the world could have the faith in Jesus Christ, God said, you know what? You don't get it. Here are some things that I'm going to help you to bring you there. And he says, therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was their teacher to teach them of Christ. The feasts were symbols of what Christ was coming to do for them. And God picked the Passover for one specific reason. So these four cups on the table represented kind of four promises that God had for them. I believe those four promises were for Israel, and I believe those four promises are for us today. And I want you to know and I want you to take home that God has made a promise to you. And we're going to learn about that today. So they sit down at this meal for Passover. And they recite this prayer and says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you and stretch out my arm with great judgments. And I will take you for me a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." And these were the four promises to Israel. He said, "I will bring you out. I will deliver. I will redeem. And I will take you as my people." That was the message to Israel. And that's what those four cups on the table represent every year for the Jewish people. And at specific points along the meal, they would recite the entire story that we learn as kids of being slaves under the Egyptians, being delivered of the different plagues, and then brought across the sea on dry land. That's what they would talk about. And at each specific point, they would stop and drink of these cups. And the first one was the cup of sanctification, where he says, "I will bring you out." The reason he was bringing them out is he was setting them aside, is he was taking his people and setting them apart from the rest of the world, that they were going to be special to him. And it's interesting, if you go back and you watch the old Charlton Heston movie and, you know, "Let my people go," that whole part, we talk about that, but there's a very specific person. He says, "When you will let my people go," there is a reason for that. And if you read the scriptures, he says, "So they can worship me." So God has set us apart as a special people so that we can worship him. Think about that this morning, and that's why we're here, and that's why churches across the country today and across the world are full today, because we have this understanding that God wants us to worship him, which is why we're here. The next cup they would come to is the cup of deliverance as they would work through this meal. And when I first read it, I said, well, what's the difference between bringing out and being delivered? To me, I thought that was the exact same thing. But when you look at the Hebrew translation, when it talks about deliverance, it literally translates into being rescued. So it's not that Israel, on any act of their own, could break free from slavery. That it was only going to be through the power of God to bring them out. And that's how he demonstrated it in the plagues. To show to Egypt and to the entire world the power that God had. And that's the beauty of what we'll talk about in a moment. The third cup. The cup of redemption. What this implies is that there is some price that had to be paid. Something had to be sacrificed. And at this point in the meal, they look back and they recall the point of the story where they would sacrifice an unblemished lamb without spot on it, and they would dip the reeds and they would apply it to the doorposts. And some people say, as when you make that motion, you make the sign of the cross. And Israel would talk about and remember that perfect lamb that was a symbol for their sins, that saved them from the death angel for Passover. Think about that. And last is the cup of hope. So at the very end of the meal, they recite that God is taking them for a people. He says, "I will be to you a God." So he was creating this special relationship with Israel. So what's the point? Why talk about all of this on an Easter Sunday? And to me, the message has been the same from the beginning of time. That God, sometimes through our stubbornness, kind of throws these reminders along the way. And that was Israel. They had the message of Jesus from the very beginning. The Word of God says when Adam and Eve left the garden, he sent angels to minister to them the plan of salvation. And salvation can only come through Christ Jesus today. And that is our message. For eternal life is only through faith and belief in Jesus Christ today. There's nothing else. And here we have in the scripture, it says, from the beginning of time, that was there. But we didn't get it. How many times have you done that, where you've made a mistake and you have, you know, erred and you said, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. And 2 weeks later, Lord, I'm sorry, I did that same thing over again. But he puts these things in our lives to remind us so that we can become better. And that was Israel. He said, you know what, you don't get it. Here's your 10 commandments to live by. And he put these feasts in them so that they might remember the power of God in their lives. And that was the Passover feast, because here was the greatest, one of the greatest accomplishments that Israel had seen, the bondage under slavery and bringing out and saving their people is incredible. And, you know, 2 weeks later, they would forget. And how many times have we done that? We've forgotten the miracles that God has done in our lives. And we come to church and we're reminded of those things. You know, it wasn't too long ago, we were talking about it at home. And when Maddie was a little baby, remember, we went in for one of her ultrasounds. And on the ultrasound, in her brain, there was a very large cyst. And, you know, Bethany was anointed, and she was prayed for. And many of you prayed for us. And when we went back for the follow-up ultrasound, it was gone. But us, in our daily lives, we get caught up in, you know, in work and in our families, and sometimes we forget about the miracles of God. And that's exactly what, you know, triggered us. We thought about it and said, you know, how beautiful is that? That he continues to bless us despite our mistakes, despite our forgetfulness. God continues to bless our lives today. So, what do these cups mean for us today? So the promise number one, that God has sanctified you. He has set you aside. He has made you special. That each and every one of you today are special to our Savior. And he has called you by name. And it says in John's gospel, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whoever shall ask of the Father in his name, he may give it to you. You know, think about that. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, in this world of 8 billion people, nobody cares about us, but Jesus does. And he has called you by name, and you are special to him. No matter what the world tells you today, God is thinking about you. He knows your heart. He knows your desire. And if there's anything that you need of him, if you ask him, he promises that he will give it to you. As they were in the upper room that night, the Lord said a prayer, and he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, referring to us. He says, but thou shouldest keep them from evil, protect them from sin. Here he is setting you aside again. He wants you to be special. He wants you to be different from the world. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're like him. We are made in his image. And he says this, sanctify them. Again, set them aside. Make them beautiful. Make them special. And you are beautiful and you are special to the Lord today. He says, through thy truth, thy word is truth. The second promise is that God will deliver you. No matter what you struggle with today, whether it's finances, whether it's addiction, whether it's marital problems, whatever sin that you might have in your life, God can deliver you from that today. That is the message of today, that Jesus Christ came and died to demonstrate his power over death, to prove to you that he is a God stronger than death, stronger than cancer, stronger than sickness, stronger than afflictions. That is the God that we praise today. That is the God that we worship. It's different from all the other religions in the world. And that's what today is all about. That his resurrection signifies something so much more to us. And This next verse means so much, and I think it is almost cliche sometimes that you see it so frequently, but I want you to listen to it. It says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Our goal, our desire is not to make you feel bad for the mistakes that you've made. That is not Christ's purpose for him coming. It is not for us, he's not trying to guilt us into worshiping him. He came because he loved you. He died because he loved you. He resurrected and had power over the grave because he wants to be with you forever, for eternity. That was his message. That's what the scriptures were talking about today. And if you remember, that deliverance, it was a rescue. He was saving us. There is nothing that you can do today to save yourself. There is nothing you can do today to save your loved ones. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the Easter message, that we might understand what Christ has done for you today. The third promise, God will redeem you. Jesus Christ, pay the price. I believe at this part in that meal, Jesus knew what that cup represented. If you read on in the scriptures, when he was taken in the garden in Gethsemane, he said a prayer. He says, "Lord, take this cup from me." I believe with all my heart today he was referring to that third cup in the Seder meal. The cup of redemption. Because our redemption came only through him. And I think at that point in the garden that we see the man who Jesus Christ was. That one glimpse of potential weakness, where he struggled with what he was about to endure, because he knew. He knew the crown of thorns that were awaiting him. He knew the suffering on the cross that was about to happen. And he saw that cup, and he knew what it represented. Because he was the only person that can do that. And through all those years of the Passover feast, when they would celebrate that sacrifice of the unblemished, spotless lamb, can you imagine when Jesus Christ was teaching them at the Passover, telling them about this Passover lamb, the Lamb of God telling them that portion of the story? And as Austin pointed out this morning, they still missed it, just like us. They went to the tomb. They had the message right then and there, and they missed it, and so do we. That there's so many times in our lives where God was there. He manifested ourselves. We've seen the healings. We've seen his power. We saw our prayers answered. And then we miss church the next week. We forget to pray that night. We forget to ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us. We are human. We're flesh. We make mistakes. And that's what this cup of redemption is. That so long as we make mistakes, Jesus Christ is there to forgive us. So long as we go to him and ask him for forgiveness. You know, Peter says in his writings, "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that lamb without blemish." Excuse me. You know, I love this piece of scripture because Peter points out these things, you know, the silver and gold, that things that we find to be very valuable in our lives. And he calls them empty ways of your fathers. When Christ came into your life, he wants you to focus on something completely different. It's not about the car that you drive, the house that you owned. It's not if you have 10,000 Facebook followers. Those things don't matter to him. What he wants you to do is be filled with his Spirit. He wants you to focus on things that are different from the world. Just as he pointed out earlier that, Lord, they're not of the world, just like me. I want them to be different. I want them to be special. But so often we get caught up in these different things, that we need to wear the same type of clothes as that guy. We need to drive the same car as our neighbors. And we miss the message that we need to be different. That's what Christ calls us to do today. The last promise. He promised us hope. He says, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your God. You know, Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. Not those of you who are members of the church, not those of you who come every Wednesday night and every Sunday. It's for every single man and woman. Jesus Christ died. For all of us. And because of that, you are special to him, like we talked about. And what I love, he says, henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Not only has God changed his relationship with him, what was so incredible about the crucifixion, I'm going to give you a little more historical background. The temple that was in Jerusalem, there was the Holy of Holies. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And it was covered with a veil, so only the high priest can go inside of it. That veil separated God's Spirit, which rested in that. And there was a veil that kept the rest of the people out. When Jesus Christ died, it said there was a rent that tore it open. And this separation no longer existed. And that's what he's talking about in the scripture. He doesn't call us servants. He calls us friends. He wants us to talk to him like his friends. He wants us to go to him. And my challenge to you today, if he has called you his friend, I want you to talk to him. I want you to reach out to him like he's your friend. I want you to learn about him. You know, my wife is my best friend. I learn something new about her every day. And there are things that I know that she likes that I try to do. That's what Jesus Christ does. He wants you to read the Word of God. He wants you to know about him. He wants you to learn about him and interact with him on a regular basis. If you don't know where to start, find one of us afterwards. Grab somebody. Ask somebody, where do I start? Where can I read? What can I do? Because I want you to have that same relationship, that Jesus Christ is your friend. That understanding that we are a peculiar people, that we are different, called from the beginning of the world. Each hair on our head is numbered because of the love that he has for you. You know, God has made promises from the beginning of time, and that's what I love so much as I saw this representation, these four cups that sat there. You know, that progression of understanding the great sacrifice that he had. That he brought you out. He sanctified you. He set you aside. He delivered you. He redeemed you. And today he gives you hope. Hope of an eternal life. Hope of a day where there is no trials or tribulations. There's no sorrows. We won't see our loved ones hurting. We won't see our loved ones crying. That's the day that Jesus Christ has given us hope for. So today, this Easter, may God bless you. Might you remember the promises that he has for you. And most importantly, the promise that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but might have everlasting life. And may God grant you some more rich blessings on this Easter day. May God bless you.
Let's all stand. We're going to use number 174 in the Mesa Branch songbook.